I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Salmon or Dolly, threw a great party. We all drank Bacardi, it got kinda gnarly. We're light as a feather, we're tougher than leather. Together we're weirder, we're weirder together.
OMG, first pod in the theoretical new pod studio in Sydney.
Yes, we're deciding on which room will be most soundproof.
But also vibe, not vibe proof, what's conducive, most vibe conducive.
Yeah.
Because this is a pretty room.
It is a pretty room.
And there is something about podding within aesthetic beauty.
Yeah. Although people just see like a little.
I know, but I feel there is an intangible something they pick up when they look into the four glimmering eyes of a couple inspired
and
by
a
physical
handsome,
beauty.
And a handsome room with a handsome fireplace.
They can see a fireplace behind us. They can see
molding,
yeah,
pretty molding.
You know, just something, a little something. Throw them a little something. Yeah. A little something for their imaginations.
Yes. Miffy was very big this Easter.
I have no idea who Miffy is.
Sanrio World.
Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty. Remember Kate, my eldest daughter, used to call her Hello Kitty.
And I do remember a t-shirt I spotted in the 90s that said Hello Titty. And it just had two kind of boobs
on it. That's sort of funny. It sounds like titty means one, but it's...
Does it in what language?
I don't know, but titty or titties. Hello Titty. It sounds like you're just saying hello to one, like boob. Hello boob.
We're also dealing with deciding how intense the traffic on this street is. Is it going to be intrusive
back
or not?
To titties,
back to
titties, and then I want to talk about
the single titties.
I want to talk about the traffic too. Do you remember in that road movie, E2 Tambien? No, the one with the
E2 Mama Tambien.
Yes,
you left out the mama. How did you leave the mama out of that movie?
Well, the mama in this one, remember, she said, "Do you like my tetas?"
My tetas.
I don't know why that's stuck in my mind. So the traffic, so we're on a very beautiful street.
And because it's beautiful, we tend to, we give the traffic noise somewhat more of a romanticism to it.
Yeah.
Like it's like if you're living in like the West Village and you hear like
a piano playing, like a Rear Window.
Yeah.
How good is that? There's nothing like a New York apartment when you hear someone practicing piano. Or, I don't know, I guess in Rear Window you have like la 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 la. It's just so romantic, those summer days, and you see someone practicing ballet and then there's a murder.
Yeah, there is. The murder does tend to put a, you know, what do they say, put a damper on things. But, and to the podcast listener, I'm not sure whether they can define between romantic traffic noises or just annoying traffic noises. So we'll see. Hey, it's an ongoing conversation.
Yeah.
I am feeling gently relieved as we reclaim some of our furniture from our last stint in Sydney in 2021.
I know. We're wrestling it away from your family and different people. Not really. Some people are happy to. One person, there was an ottoman that was bizarrely large and it was stuffed into his apartment.
Yeah,
and
Max
so
Quinn, shout out Max Quinn, the ottoman keeper of Sydney.
He hopefully was like, oh, now I have room in my apartment.
Totally. But it's nice getting them back. And it's funny how each of these pieces of furniture, I do feel this sort of, each one was a journey.
Yeah.
Each thing you buy is a journey.
I
it's
know.
It's like getting them back. It does feel like soul retrieval in a shamanic sense.
And every new city or something, if you listeners, beautiful babies, have ever moved to a new country or something, it feels different. Like, you know, deliveries, and it's all, and there's the good and the bad, like how you get things delivered and who, you know, some places it's easier getting a van or whatever. But yeah, it's like, I feel like now I've done it one other time. I've lived here for a year.
Are we starting a van rental analysis, comparative van rental analysis podcast? I think there's a massive audience for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Not man with a van, but something. And Goldie, our kid, was going to have a lemonade stand because you can't really get lemonade or what else. I don't know, but you can get those passion fruits, boy.
The passion fruits are killing it.
I literally like.
And we're at the end of the summer and they're still big and juicy.
Goldie got she loves cooking. So we got her like one nice knife, like a Japanese knife. And she cut through. It's like such a good knife. It barely touches something and it cuts through. And the juice like went on the counter of this passion fruit, and I literally like sucked it off the counter.
You were like in less than zero, like a cocaine addict, yeah. but for passion fruit.
Exactly. And this reminds me of my grandfather, who never wasted anything because he was from the Depression. That Barbara Streisand, last time I'm ever going to talk about Barbara Streisand.
I feel like you've been having an affair with Barbara Streisand.
The last time, but she said she used to not waste things when she was a kid because you have depression era parents who, you know, if you know what it's like not to have food, you don't waste things. Like,
right.
No, we used to eat fruit and my grandfather was horrified. Like we would leave. He was like, you're leaving so much of the fruit. He'd practically eat the whole thing. He would wash paper plates, and it's because you were traumatized from not having anything. And then it becomes, you become more the eco warrior in quotations, because that's cringy. But eco warrior, that's fine, right? But you do it, you don't waste, because of course you don't want to waste food because people are starving in the world, but also it becomes like, you know, oh, I'm not like just buying da 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 over and over.
Do you think there are anyone that comes out of like that archetype of the grandparent who went through the Depression, who became the massive, you know, don't waste anything? Do you think there's anyone that came out with a cavalier like,
yes,
c'est la vie, live how you live,
probably. Seize the day. I mean, one last thing about my grandfather, he used to get annoyed when we would open the refrigerator, because electricity also, I do turn off lights a little as I get older. Yeah. I used to just, unless I'm like need to feel less depressed, then all the lights on a blazing.
Oh, but, you know me, I'm full overhead lights in the living room.
Or
I'm
just, like, yeah, all like low lights.
I wanted to feel like a mall.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm going for ambient. Well, yes, a mall.
I'm going for Westfield.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is happy. Anyway, he would get so annoyed because we'd open the refrigerator and look to see what we wanted. And he would say, decide what you want before you open the refrigerator. Don't just stand there.
Online shopping was made for your grandfather. He would have loved it. You'd have been able to really get a sense of what was available.
You couldn't. Yeah. Just not wasting that opening that refrigerator forever and ever.
And how are you sleeping in Sydney?
I was sleeping terrifically. And last night I had my usual, like, what, you know, up in the night thinking about the world, having, you know, a lot of sort of guilt. How can I be happy when the people are in hellscapes type of thing? But, you know, then I go to listen to like happy podcasts and I'm like, you know what? It's all right to be happy sometimes and have a reprieve from the news today. Oh boy.
Yeah. It's really,
but we're a reprieve. So yeah,
we're a reprieve for some people, but I try not to be a reprieve that's like delusional or head in sand.
Yeah.
Like I've always idealized the idea of being happy as a choice where you're knowing the horrors of the world. You're choosing to be happy.
Yeah.
Not by ignoring them.
I know. You know, babies, some babies are happy.
That's true.
You know, at moments, having moments. So anyway, innocent like a child, but you know. So,
So yeah, I've got finally we're getting started with some gigs. We had the first Weirder Together, mm-hmm. and that was amazing. We talked a little bit about that on the Substack pod, but
now you're getting rolling with your tour.
Yeah, but it was just so nice to, you know, these variety shows were something we started them back at Largo years ago, but really we started them as Weirder Together things in 21. And it was fun to realize that it was interesting because it was the same day that Splendor in the Grass, which is a big Australian festival, got cancelled. And as much as our Weirder Together variety show is like this little funky thing that's, you know, a few hundred people in a bar, it still felt like it has a festival vibe to it.
Yeah.
And I think there is, it's really weird, the modern economics of the entertainment industry. You know, some of these larger models that need to be Babe Ruth hitting the ball out of the park home runs in order to just cover their costs. You know, they're noble failures, but there is something about people getting together to experience a variety of acts, some they know and some they don't. Like, I think people actually, at an entertainment level, crave that. And I got some messages the next day saying, like, it's like a festival. We need this kind of thing. You know, yeah. it is meeting a need, and it kind of inspired me.
Well, we're sort of like those chefs. What's it called when they give you just whatever they...
Omakase.
Yeah, we're the omakase. So you don't know what the next course will be, but you trust it'll be good.
Trust the chef, baby.
And after the meal, you're like, wow, I loved that one bit. And I loved... I mean, everything was good, but you have your highlights and... Omakase. Yeah.
So what did you like? What did the weirdo the other night? What were you vibing on the most?
I mean, we had this cool guy. We talked about Sully, and I didn't expect it to be like a statement.
Let's explain what it was, because we didn't explain what he was doing. I think I did.
Well, he's just firstly this like hot, clearly, I mean, to me, I could see he's a gay man.
I don't think his sexuality was in question.
But
I think
picture fit. Shorts.
He was a bit of a Tom of Finland
character. Big, beautiful legs, like gorgeous muscles, you know, that kind of thing. And he did this fun thing with like balloons and condoms.
And tubes, sort of like enema tubes almost. Like,
oh, okay.
Well, they were like medical tubing.
Medical tubing with a clarinet, whatever. It was a beautiful looking machine, actually. It was simple and cool. And I thought, oh, this is just like comedy, because it sort of sounds like farts and this and that. But it was really a love letter to his love of asses and stuff like that. And it was sort of, but it became like a beautiful thing because he had a lot of shame about being gay. So it became this kind of funny bit, and it helped him heal his shame. But it was also tasteful and funny and weird and musical.
It was kind of classic performance art in that you could receive it on multiple levels. And I really like that. It's funny that performance art as a thing has become, I don't know, there's also a weird shame about performance art as if it's a like, because it is, I guess it is a playground for the...
When it's bad, it's
talented. Well, it's sort of like, it's like people who need attention.
Yeah.
And think they have more to say than they do. It becomes a very viable option as a medium.
Yeah.
But when it's done well, it's just like it opens your mind because it sits outside of any type of creative medium.
I know. It's funny. I was listening to, in the middle of the night, Willem. I thought, who's Cozy? And I was like, talk easy. I'll listen to the Willem Dafoe. And they were talking about his thing he did, his theater group, that he didn't like when they called it deconstructed theater, because he was like, no, we were just like taking our favorite parts of a play and doing that. Like something, there's certain terms like deconstructed or, well, performance art, or for me, short move film. Like I've made a lot of short films, and I'm always like, I just wish there was something other than film and short film. There actually was a term recently I heard. It was like, but it's funny. It's one of those things, like, I don't know why I have a mental block.
Wait, what was the term?
I forgot, but
So it denoted like what, like a 45 minute or a film that exists somewhere between a short and a feature.
I'll Google later.
I like that idea because I find that like the strictness of the medium, like if you say a song could be a 30 second ditty or it could be a symphony.
Yeah.
Like it is annoying, particularly in film, that there are such strict rules because of the Academy.
Yeah.
And because it's such a like, it's such an economic structure around getting bums in seats and stuff. But Netflix have like furthered the strictness on it, I think, a little bit in terms of what is considered what.
Yeah, I know. Did you ever call a song an album or a cut? Like some people, that would confuse me, calling a song an album.
Oh, no, it's not that. People call a record. People call a song nowadays.
A record.
A song is a record. We cut that record with, and it's one song.
I think in the 80s, I remember they said a record.
Did they?
And I was like, do you mean a record or a song?
Yeah, well, because there were 12 inches. You'd put out a single that was like a 12-inch
I'm
single.
So excited about art. It's like we're, without us knowing, we have a record label within Weirder Together. But we do know, but it's like fun because it's like we're putting out singles.
Yeah, it was
and
cool.
Stuff, but it's like not like, I mean, you know, my personality. I'm like, oh, I'm a celebrity. Oh, I'm doing,
get me out of here.
Get me in here. But yeah, I kind of have this like defense mechanism of being like out of it, and because probably I'm scared to look things right in the eye.
Yeah, well, especially exciting. Nowadays, like, I just think I remember John Strome, a friend of mine, saying, a record label is like whatever you imagine it to be.
Yeah. I mean,
we're talking about essentially digital distribution. The actual structure of what makes something a record label is, it's not much. It's like, it's having a name for it. But what I do like about it is that like all independent artists are sort of on their own, basically just trying to drum up interest and trying to get the people to come to their shows, and you download this or stream them on Spotify. There is something about collectively pooling our platforms and our resources. And I think that's kind of the strength of Weird Together as a label, that, you know, if we put something out, it's not like we have some massive budget to spend on it. Do people hear those birds? That is classic Sydney bird action.
Yeah.
But there is something about saying, hey, let's share our platforms and promote each other's work and let's help. You know, it feels like that is our contemporary idea of what a record label could be.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a bird island and we're just visiting here.
Yeah, the birds are right. I know the other day.
It's for the birds.
So this is funny, in this house, the one thing, we're renting this house, and the one thing that is absolutely bizarre about it is the trash cans are kept out the back, but there is no side alleys to drag them down. So you actually have to bring the trash on trash day through the house.
Through the kitchen,
out the front door. And those magpies out the back, they are keeping a keen eye we're doing with that trash.
I think these two magpies live here because I heard the neighbor saying, go on, get out of here. Like, she has to deal with them every day. They're pretty. Black and white birds are beautiful. But yeah, this house is so, I love it. I love it. That's the one funny thing about it so far. We don't know.
Yeah, otherwise pretty good. And it's fun. I think we're all sliding into our kind of creative energy. Like, I think for us,
oh yeah,
a space is very much defined by how open and creative do we feel in it, and do we feel comfortable hosting? And you know, it was an amazing day yesterday. I went out for a little walk and did groceries or something and came back, and both you and Goldie were painting separately. Yeah. And in the kitchen, it looked amazing. I picked up my guitar and started playing it. And by the way, shout out to Fender Australia, who helped me procure
your favorite guitar.
I'm loving it. It's the new Jaguar, the Kurt Cobain signature model, ironically enough, which is...
Why ironic?
Well, just, I don't know. I feel like for me, that's so the origin story of getting into playing music.
Yeah.
But also, I kind of feel like Kurt had really trashed guitars. So the fact that Fender have made like a high-end model of a Kurt Cobain guitar is kind of funny. But I absolutely love this guitar. It's a Jaguar with humbuckers and really, really cool. So first show on Friday night
at
Dashville in Hunter Valley. I'm excited to play. Do you like saying that?
I've never heard
that. Say it again. You've never heard the word humbuckers?
Humbuckers, no.
Have you heard of single coil?
I mean, I understand the word single and I understand the word coil, but no.
And you understand the word hum?
Yes.
And you understand bucking?
Bucking Bronco.
Yeah, so there you go, humbuckers. All humbuckers right. Are like they get you that fat AC/DC kind of tone.
Yeah.
Warm and fat. And then single coil get you that Hendrix, John Mayer. It's like classic, like Stevie Ray Vaughan. Like it's like solo-y kind of like bluesy.
Are we turning thinner. To a tech music yeah, show? Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, that's going to
I do love that.
Radically lose listeners. I'm such the wrong guy. As someone who has forever prized substance content over technicality.
Yeah.
I'm the wrong person.
I've seen you with a magazine here or there.
I've had a magazine, a little tape-up magazine. Not really guitar magazines.
Techie magazine. Oh, you're more, that's more engineering. Like,
yeah, I get into a little, but tape-up is like, it's not really a techie magazine. It's a techie magazine for lo-fi people. You know what I mean?
It tells you how they did it.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, it really aims for like the Elliot Smith, like home recording world, and John Vanderslice, like people that have recorded at home successfully. So yeah. it's like cool stuff. It's not, you don't get the like Jeff Lynne and who's the guy?
Stevie Ray Vai.
No, they're Steve guitar Vai. Players.
I know, but talking about tech.
Well, I was thinking more about, remember Roy Thomas Baker? Remember when I was recording at the Village Recorder? I was making Ripe and Billy Corgan was recording the Smashing Pumpkins downstairs, and there was a vintage Rolls Royce parked outside, and that was Roy Thomas Baker, who was producing that Smashing Pumpkins album, who was Queen's producer.
Oh.
He's that type of guy. He wouldn't be in tape up, probably.
I remember being Silver Lake, speaking of Rolls Royces, I don't know, we're switching gears to cars now, but when I was a kid, Silver Lake was not what it's like now, but we were all playing, like, you know, everyone was like ragamuffins with single moms. And I remember this boyfriend of one of my friend's moms rented a Bentley to surprise her. And she just was like, "You idiot, we don't have the money for this," like yelling at him. And all the kids were really excited and he was like depressed, but he took us all for a ride in the Bentley. And then Jason Nesmith came up with, you know how kids come up with the weirdest little like tunes?
Sure.
And he, it goes, "Bentley, Bentley, 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 Rolls Royce, Bentley."
That's cool.
Because, you know, and then we had fun, but the poor boyfriend got scolded.
Not to mention Jason Nesmith, who went on to write jingles.
That's right.
And score television shows. So he was like well in his zone of genius back in that point.
And you know, my cousin wrote Bum Bum Bumblebee Tuna.
Yeah. Who is that again? Which cousin?
I think on the Stolberger side.
Mm. What happened to Bumblebee money? Where's that Bumblebee money floating around?
I know. That's the only claim of fame apart from my father and me and my brother. And Joanna.
There was something yesterday, junkie.com posted this video on Instagram that I restrained myself for a moment and then I commented on. It was Zoe Deschanel talking about how she was being interviewed about Nepo babies. And she said, "Well, it's not like you get a job if you're a kid of a DP. Like no one's going like, oh my God, but you do get the creative support and the community and the practice and you learn the language and all of that stuff, which helps."
Yeah.
You know, but the person who posted the video was sort of saying like, not Zoe Deschanel saying there is no nepotism or something. And I was like, I think you're radically misrepresenting what she's saying. She's just saying it all helps, but you can't book a job by it.
Yeah.
And then
it's like a perfect storm. Like for me, I think Cameron Crowe, knowing my dad is Donovan, and even Tim Hunter, the director of River's Edge, I think it helped that they were like, "Oh, wow, 'cause you know, that's interesting to them that my dad's Donovan. Maybe I'm also creative." And it's not like famous enough last name where it's like whatever, but then you have to also be talented.
Yeah.
And show up for the job and do the job. So it's the combination where it helps. It can help you in a door. Sometimes it totally gets you in a door and sometimes it helps you get in a door. But then, of course, so, you know, sure, there's something to it, but it's not like a home run.
I thought she was being pretty straight ahead. Like, she was just saying, it's not gonna lock you into a job. But then someone was like, but what about all that support in your family? I was like, dude, that's good parenting. That's not like a good parent.
And I didn't, by the way, I mean, there's a lot of people that also just have a last name, and it's not that they got nothing from their parents.
Sure.
Or didn't even know their parents.
Yeah. Well, someone wrote under my comment, oh yeah, and who's your father-in-law again? As if Donovan has like helped my career in some way.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And what also there's, I remember, I feel like, I don't want to name names, but there was two very famous celebrities back in the 60s and 70s.
Axl Rose and Stephanie Seymour.
Earlier, but okay. Who had a daughter who was like a nightmare. Like, just everyone was like, get this crazy person out of whatever.
Yep.
So, I mean, and both her parents were like, wow, amazing people.
Oh, so you're saying even being a Nepo baby could not save her from irritating people?
Sure.
Being annoying is being annoying. I think that's the moral of the story.
I never met her, to be honest, but.
Yeah, but you heard.
Heard it.
You hearing is, it's not that where there's smoke, there's fire, but when, that is one of the areas that, I guess in any industry, but showbiz is very much like once people start talking,
yeah,
that can be essential. You have to make so much money for someone for them to put up with
hamsters
being truly
in
difficult.
Your bum or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that would, to make the hamster put up with it. But you know what I mean?
That?
Like,
oh,
Ellen,
that was a
or
Richard Gere
story.
I'm sure that didn't happen. Who wants to put a ham? I mean, that's not true.
I don't think that's true either. That was, there were a lot of those very homophobic urban legends that, went around the 80s.
A 4-year-old made up.
Totally.
Who was thinking about hamster?
I remember one about the band Bros. Do you remember Bros? B-R-O-S? They might have not been big in America. They were in Australia. They were a British. Okay, Bros were a British band of like twin brothers, twin blonde brothers.
Bros?
Bros, exactly. And they had songs. They were very campy. And they were like, when will I be famous? I can't answer that. Okay. Anyway, there was a rumor going around that one of the brothers was feeling sick at soundcheck, and he threw up. And when they did analysis on the vomit, they found his brother's semen in his stomach. I love that.
Another 6-year-old came up with that one.
I love that of all the medical testing that might have been available, even in the 80s, they were like, we're going to look for influenza. We're going to look for stomach bugs. We'd also like to do the semen DNA test to see whose semen bras are guzzling.
Guzzling.
Yeah, anyway. So that was pretty...
That's fun.
Pretty great moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And man, I'm starting to feel vaguely settled in. It's taking a minute. I feel like we're ready. I love the routine of the pods and the Substack stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, for me, it's been a bit like jet lag.
Give Ben a holiday and...
I don't deal well with it.
He gets depressed. When I first came to Australia, there was like that whole Christmas time, like 5,000 days in a row of nothing and nothing being open. And like, you know, I mean, it was kind of fun not having internet for a second in the weirdest way. Cause I'm like, wait, okay. You change your habits. Like, oh, I guess I can sleep without watching Real Housewives of New York season, whatever, 7 from 2014.
And you survive.
And I survived.
And you survived.
And I thrived and I painted. But you know, I'm not shaming Wi-Fi because I love it.
I'm glad. Wi-Fi is very sensitive. Please don't shame it.
No.
If you are around the Hunter Valley, Newcastle area, out Friday
grab
night.
Grab a wine.
I'm playing at Dashville. Bring a bottle of vino. I'm playing with a full band. Excited about that. There's also a bunch of shows starting to be announced, so people can find them at ben-lee.com. Also, if you're not already, if you're a listener of this podcast and you want more of this, consider joining our Substack for $5 a month. I mean,
apologies,
it's very modest.
For the $5 a month. Yes, please.
And you'll get the video of this weekly pod. You're going to get extra pod on Fridays or Saturdays and an extra piece of content during the week from either me or you. Your next one is amazing. You've been doing, you've got a post in the works called digging through old photos for your memoir.
Juicy.
Can't wait for people to see that.
And sorry, apologies for the dings. We're waiting for a delivery of a little like piece of furniture.
Yeah, exactly. So we didn't want to turn our notifications off.
So you're part of that.
But we love you, beautiful babies. Thanks for sticking with us through this transition period.
Were you saying them?
Thanks for sticking with yourselves. Stick by yourself. Stick by...
Yeah, do it.
Ione. Yeah, do it. Stick by me. We love you.
We love you so much.
We're sticking by you. We're gonna get back in the rhythm, back in the swing of things,
mm-hmm.
back in the New York groove.
Back in the New York groove. Is that the tune?
Yeah.
And I'm back.
Back in the New York groove.
Who's that
Ace
again?
Frehley.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right.
Not written by him, I don't think.
Oh, wait. Not Kiss.
He's from Kiss.
No, I know, but solo.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Good on him. Good on you, Ace.
That's a drummer done well.
With guitar player.
I know. That's just what Mike Williams said about...
Grohl.
Yeah, Grohl. That's a drummer. He's got a Manchester accent. That's a drummer done well.
If there's one message we'd like to leave you with is that We Together will not shame Wi-Fi.
No.
And we applaud Ace Frehley for his success with Back in a New York Groove.
In 1983.
See you later, beautiful
Good job,
babies.
Ace.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.